I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Dig into the latest and worst from the FBI. Talk about this citizenship bill and what it actually shows. I think I might want a brain implant. We'll get to some emails and so much more coming in this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. All right, I should probably do this first. RFK Jr., there are a lot of you voting for him. I should say some of you. He has become an option for many people who are angry with Trump, angry about whatever it may be, vaccines, whatever it is. And RFK speaks out loudly. To his credit, he speaks out loudly against all this big pharma stuff. But I just never came around on him. Because at his heart, he's still a Democrat and he's still a Kennedy. And he sat down with Sage Steele. I know, what a name. And he said this.
So in other words, keeping it as is with Roe versus Wade having been overturned and leaving it up to the states to determine if and when a woman can have an abortion?
No, I wouldn't leave it to the states.
You wouldn't, right.
No, I would.
You would say completely... It's up to the woman.
My belief is we should leave it to the woman. We shouldn't have government involved.
Even if it's full term.
Even if it's full term.
Yeah. Look, I don't expect everyone to vote on this issue. I do vote on this issue. Everyone has their own thing. As long as you have your thing, it's something that matters, that's fine. So let's set that part of it aside. And I don't expect everyone to be as pro-life as I am. I understand that I am on the extreme on the issue. I don't apologize for it. I'm not wrong. But I don't expect everyone, I don't care if everyone agrees with me. It doesn't bother me at all. However, if you're one of these full-term abortion guys, that really shows you more than anything where we are culturally with our value system in this country. A full-term baby? A baby that's just about to pop and cry and eat. And you're okay with killing it? Having that position. Look, you, me, we can argue about taxes. Hey, what's the best way to handle illegal immigration? Like they're spending. You and me, we could have these arguments all day long. And we should. We should debate these things. Feeling like it's okay for a baby to be executed at full term, that should come with such social shame that you should have to move and change your name. Like it should be saying on camera, and I realize this is the Democrat position. Every Democrat in the House and Senate has taken this position. This is the Democrat position. So I understand it's widespread now. That is as disgusting as announcing publicly that you're a pedophile. It is just as evil and disgusting as that. And yet it's accepted. It's just something people say. A full term, yeah, kill it, screw it. Do you know nothing about the human body or life or that baby? Nothing? And the fact that that doesn't come, forget about RFK, okay? He's a nutball who loves abortion, whatever. Having that position not get him just completely ostracized speaks so poorly of where we are culturally in this country. Because even if you thought that, and maybe you think that, maybe you're sitting there listening to me right now thinking that,
even if you thought that, you should instinctively know, I better not tell anyone because otherwise I'll just get destroyed for it. Like, that's, you should know the culture is going to reject your position so badly that you have to keep it quiet. But it shows you where we are culturally that they just come out and say it now. All of them, every Democrat, just without a care in the world. Oh, yeah, kill them all. Let God sort them out. Every one of them. Whew. So we were talking about earlier about punishment and why it's important. And in fact, we were talking about the FBI earlier, why it's important that Congress punish the FBI. Congress should be stripping their funding. They should be. Should be not a dime. Forget about not a dime for a new building. We'll set that aside. There shouldn't be a dime for the FBI. They should be being brought to heel as we speak for all the evil things they've been doing in recent years. But it hasn't happened, has it? In fact, if you look on the horizon, just let's be honest with each other here. I know we control the House, and I know Trump's up in the polls, but let's be honest, just you and me talking. How hopeful are you that the GOP is going to punish the FBI? Chris is laughing. I mean, honestly, who's going to do that? Who is it? Lindsey Graham? I'm sorry. Can you imagine the file they have on Lindsey Graham? Anyway, look, they haven't punished the FBI. There's nobody threatening to punish the FBI. So we have headlines like this. This is from Post Millennial. The FBI restarts communications with social media companies over disinformation ahead of the 2024 election. Do I need to remind everybody that during the last election cycle, the FBI chose to get intimately involved in the election so they could cost Donald Trump his presidency and hand it to Joe Biden? And they went so far as to having social media companies censored stories that were going to be damaging to Joe Biden's chances. The Federal Bureau of Investigation did that. And after that, you, me, all of us, we were so mad, we gave the GOP back the House. Yeah, go fix some things. And they didn't fix or defund a single thing. And so you can be mad that the FBI is going to do the same thing all over again, but just like we talked about before, why wouldn't they? Where's the disincentive? Why wouldn't they do it all again? Do you remember? You remember Kevin Kleinsmith? We talked about him a little bit last night when we were going off on the FBI. But Kevin Kleinsmith, he was the FBI lawyer who lied on that form in order to violate Trump's civil rights so they could spy on Trump's campaign. He lied on a FISA. He lied. And did you know that not only is Kevin Kleinsmith not in prison for the rest of his life, Kevin Kleinsmith is still a practicing lawyer, didn't even get disbarred, and he's now filthy rich at a prestigious law firm. Did you know that? What, Chris? Oh, yeah, he got 6 months probation. Didn't even spend a day in jail. Not a day. Used his position at the FBI to attack the Republican nominee for president on behalf of the Democrats, violated his civil rights, lied to the courts, and didn't do a day in jail. In fact, still practicing law. Again, I ask, where's the disincentive? There is none, because the GOP won't take away the funding. The GOP wants to fund them and build them a brand new building. What's the disincentive? Why would they ever stop? What have we done to incentivize? What has the GOP done to incentivize the communists to stop? Why would they? I don't even blame them. I look at these articles now, and I don't even get as mad as I used to at the FBI. What? How could I blame them? A dog's going to eat the food you leave on the floor. You keep leaving it on the floor, it's going to eat the food. At some point, it's your fault for leaving the food down on the floor. Let's get to some emails. Hey, Jesse, I heard the email at someone upset at you about making an Irish slur. That reminded me of what you said last week about how our open borders might end up letting in Italians. I forgot I said that. I'm an Italian American, and I thought that was the funniest thing I'd heard in a long time. Please keep up the Italian insults. I find them hilarious, and they make me feel like I'm part of the show. Her name is Karen. Karen, you are part of the show. You are one of our Italian listeners, and I love it that we have people listening from prison. Dear History Buff, can you give an example of civilization actually doing a full conquest and how? Okay, full conquest. We've talked about this before, about the dangers of half conquest. And you've seen this throughout the world. It's not just the United States of America. We did a half conquest here with the Indians. Well, no, we want your land, but we want to be nice, but we want your land. Okay, we'll give you other land. All right, you can have this land, but not that land. And now who benefited from that? Us? No, it's terrible. Them? No. You've been to a reservation? It's terrible. Didn't work out well for anyone. Half conquest. Ask the Israelis right now how well half conquest works out. Doesn't work out. Take a place or don't take a place. Don't take a place halfway. So let's talk about full conquest, shall we? Before we talk about that, might get a little uncomfortable. I want you to conquer the corporate world. I want me to conquer the corporate world, but it's very, very difficult. It's very difficult because it involves putting our money where our morals are. And oftentimes that's painful. And sometimes it's impossible. Sometimes it's impossible to avoid spending money with these dirtball companies. But thanks to Pure Talk, it's not impossible when it comes to your cell phone. You have an option. I have an option. If we are still funding some dirty commie company like Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, it's our fault. Pure Talk is right there. You save money. You save a fortune. My bill got cut in half. We switched from T-Mobile. They're on the same 5G network, so it's not like you're dropping calls and sacrificing service. International roaming, 50 countries. Why wouldn't you switch? They're the patriotic company. Their CEO is a veteran. They hire Americans. Pick up your phone, dial #250, and say Jesse Kelly. Today is the day to switch. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. It is an amazing Thursday, and you need to email your Thursday questions, by the way, Jesse, or Friday questions, questions for Friday, but it's Thursday, whatever. Email those into Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Chris, how much time do we have left in the show? I'm falling behind on this GOP citizenship stuff. Is it how I need a clock in here. Either way, I'll try to hurry. Before we get to that, the guy wanted to know about full conquest, because I lament half conquest. I think it's evil. I think it's wrong. I think it ends up hurting all parties involved. Well, many empires throughout history did full conquest. And full conquest doesn't mean you have to pull a Genghis Khan and kill every man, woman, and child and pet. That's not what I mean by full conquest. Full conquest simply means there are no, you don't get your own separate area. You don't get your own separate little country or reservation or town. No, there's not going to be any separation. You are going to be absorbed into our empire. Now, how that is done, there have been a million different ways that's been done. And to be honest, this is something nations, conquering nations, have struggled with forever. What's the best way to bring them in? Two of the best I've ever seen at it, from what I can read, are Romans and the Brits. The Brits really, really, really did it well. And here's why. The Brits believed not only do you have to be helpful to the people you're conquering, and I'm not making the Brits out to be some wonderful, gentle people. I love Brits, and I'm not even against conquest, so I'm not saying that, but look, they killed a lot of people in their conquests. I'm saying I understand that. But the Brits believed, A, you had to move in physically. Your people, if you're going to conquer an area, don't just send in an army and kill all the bad guys. You have to move there, and not just move there. I'm not talking about build a tent, build a school, build a town, build a hospital, British people hopping on a boat, moving there. You have to physically occupy any area you conquer, and you have to start to weave the local populations into what you do. Now, I'm not going to say the Brits were perfect at this. It's part of the reason they lost India the way they lost it. They just could never get it right. But the Romans did the same kind of thing. Like after, when the Romans would conquer a place like Gaul, when Caesar conquers Gaul, there are all these Gallic tribes. One thing they never, ever, 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 ever did, and they wouldn't even consider doing it with a country like that, the Gauls, they wouldn't say, well, you just keep your country. Just keep it. No, it's ours. You can keep your customs. You can keep your religion. In fact, you do you. When we need troops, you're going to send them. When we need taxes, you're going to pay them. You are going to acknowledge that Caesar is supreme over you, not whatever chief that is. But you can keep your thing, keep your tribe, but they would, very similar to the Brits, begin to weave these people into their society because you can do that when you are the technologically superior power. So if you want this Gallic village full of barbarians to finally come around and be fully Roman, in fact, we want a Roman city here one day. Well, you don't necessarily have to kill them all and vacate the land. Go build them an aqueduct. How about a local government building? Oh, that's very nice. Oh, they're enjoying it, are they? Oh, public baths. Are they enjoying these things? You begin to just slowly but surely, I don't want to say buy your way in, but prove to them the superiority of your way of life, and they will adopt it in the end. What you can't do is allow a nation to sit there separately. All right, let's set that aside. Speaking of a separate nation, let's talk about illegal immigration. GOP bill, they tried to pass one. It failed. Don't worry about that. But you should understand every single Democrat voted against it. And what was it? It was a bill that said you can't count illegals in the census. You can't count illegals in the census. Now, it was always going to fail because this issue is not a tiny side issue to Democrats. It's everything to them, and it's not because they're kind to the illegals. People are leaving blue states. They are. They're leaving California. They're leaving New York. They're leaving these states, and the population draining means these states are not going to get the same number of congressional districts, meaning the blue state power in Congress is going to shrink, unless, of course, you fill up your blue state with illegals and then count them in the census, then it looks like your state didn't lose any people at all. That is why every Democrat stands against it. And wrap your mind around this. Every Democrat voted against it. Every single Democrat in the House of Representatives voted to have illegals count as part of the census. Every single one. How do we overcome that? Not the law itself. I'm not worried about the law. I'm not even worried about this year. How do we overcome one of the two major political parties just making it official that they hate America? America sucks. America belongs to the illegals. I mean, they very clearly believe that. This is New York City Councilman.
Families in our districts, why adults just getting their lives started here after trekking thousands of miles in the jungle from a traumatic homeland to a place that they want to restart a life with the opportunity for democracy. Nothing at all except for a doubling down by this administration that this is the right policy to address the influx of asylum seekers. And like our comptroller mentioned, at the hearing for my legislation.
Yeah, that's what we're up against. And that's why we need T levels to fight back against it. That's why we need to start taking our male vitality stacks every single day, gentlemen. Male vitality stacks from chalk. You see, we need natural herbal supplements. We need testosterone. We need the natural herbal supplements to help us with the testosterone, because otherwise we can either be A, low T, or we can go down to the stupid clinic on the corner and get an injection in our arm. The second they're injecting things into your body, you should probably be suspicious. Why don't you just do as nature intended? Male vitality stacks have three different things: Chalk Daily, Tongkat 100, and Ashwagandha. The energy you feel alone makes it worth it. Your mind feels so much better. Your mood goes through the roof. Check out what Chalk has. 90 days. Take it for 90 days and then email me and tell me how you feel. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Is he smarter than everyone? Who knows? Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Don't go to Google. Apparently, that's gone now. I'll get to the religion of illegal immigration, communism, Marxism, how it's all kind of, how they're all crossing swords here in just a couple minutes. Before I get to that, let's get to a couple emails. Hey, Jesse, how do you balance wanting to visit awesome cities like New York City and not wanting to support the commies? I prefer to support cities and localities that align with our values, but that would limit where we go. Thanks, and please keep my name private. Well, I will put it to you this way. If you're wanting to visit cool places in the country, and it's a place like New York City that's obviously going downhill quickly, sooner rather than later would be preferred. But let me address really the point of your question. They don't represent our values, so why do we spend money there? Well, I don't look at it that way, in that I don't feel that any city itself, any town, any location shares my values. It's not that the location shares my values. The people do or the people don't. You know, New York City's full of small businesses. It's actually got tons of Republicans in it. They're surrounded. It's got tons of Republicans in it. You can go to, look, if you want to go to New York City and take your family to the Statue of Liberty and see the 9/11 Museum, which I think every American should see the 9/11 Museum. It is just one of those heavy things, but so, so necessary. You walk out of there saying, gosh, that was hard, but I'm glad I did it. It's one of those things that you need to go do that. It's not as if you want to stick in small town America, how do you know that convenience store you stop to stock up on Kraft Mac and hot dogs for the campfire? How do you know that convenience store didn't have mask and vaccine mandates during the COVID lockdowns? You don't know. I don't know. Right? We don't know. I guess I don't look at, as far as living there, I wouldn't go to New York City. I wouldn't protest in New York City, LA, those kind of places. But for you and your family, go visit if you want to go visit. If you can do so safely and you can afford it, go visit. I don't look at a location when it comes to my money and say they're all dirtball commies. They're not. I mean, you want to talk to some hardcore righties? Go get in a cab or an Uber in a place like New York City. It's not universal, but lots of those guys are freaking hardcore, man. They're real, real hardcore. Speaking of hardcore, let's just do a little example of how bad the mind control is when you're part of the communist cult. So we were just talking about open borders and how they're all for it. All of them are for it. Every one of them. Abortion up to term. They're all for it. Every single one of them. Every Democrat. They won't stray from it. They're not allowed to stray from it. And it gets to an uncomfortable level. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona was asked today about his daughter. What if it was your daughter having to shower in these locker rooms with dudes? I mean, that's a pretty easy question to answer, is it not?
You can tell he wants to answer it in the way any father would want to answer it. But listen to this Democrat have to avoid answering the question because the cult of being Democrat demands that you be okay with your own daughter being forced to undress in front of other men.
Would you force your daughter to undress in the bathroom with boys who are also undressing?
I am not going to be commenting on athletics rules that we haven't proposed.
You can't say yes or no on that?
I'd be happy to talk about a Title IX.
If your daughter was reported she felt uncomfortable in a boy's presence in a bathroom or locker room, would that be considered by your administration discrimination or bigotry?
As an educator for over 25 years.
You can't say yes or no to that?
I'd love to respond to your question, sir.
Okay, so yes or no. Would it be considered discrimination? She did not want that to happen.
As an educator for over 25 years, we have had the
responsibility. Okay, all right. I don't have but a few minutes here. Girls have now entered into contact sports of boxing and wrestling. Would you allow your daughter to physically fight and get beat up by a boy who called himself a girl? Yes or no?
Be happy to, once we finalize our regulations on.
That's how bad it is. Now, do you believe me? It's a religion. It's a religion. That's a father speaking about his own baby girl. Now, I don't have daughters. I have sons. And I would lay down and die for them 1,000 times a day. And I imagine I would be 10 times as protective of a daughter and his own daughter. And if he were given the option, he wouldn't be able to say no. No, honey, go into that locker room with that man and undress. That's how depraved and evil Democrats have become. It's crazy, right? Jesse, can we start calling the Jews who work with Democrats and protesters to undermine Israel what they really are? Collaborators. More harshly, Nazi collaborators. Well, look, I can't necessarily speak to all of this because I'm not Jewish. I have many friends who are, and I've asked them about this, and I want to emphasize this point. All-encompassing things generally don't work. They rarely work, especially when you're talking about a skin color or a religion or something like that. Like, you'll have people, and I understand what they're saying. They'll say, well, yeah, blacks commit all the crimes in the country. Well, now hang on a second. In urban centers, yes, that's where most of the violent crime is in the country, and most of that violent crime is in black neighborhoods. There's no question about that. That's not the black people in my neighborhood. That's not. So you just be careful with this all-encompassing thing when it comes to Jewish people. I hear this a lot from people on the right now, and it's understandable bitterness. Hey, why are you supporting Democrats when they hate your freaking guts? My friends tell me, my ones who are Jewish, my really super Orthodox Jewish buddy of mine tells me, Jesse, the reason two-thirds of Jews vote Democrat in the country is two-thirds of Jews are not practicing Jews. Their heritage is Jewish. Their parents are Jewish. They may go to synagogue. I don't know. What is for Christians, Chris, you go on Easter and Christmas if you're just kind of not really a Christian, but you're checking the boxes. How many times do you people have to go to synagogue to be one of those types of guys? 3 day a year, like Passover or something like that? Or what, Chris? Why are you laughing? Is that part of it? Yom Kippur? I thought it was Yom Kippur. I had no idea. And what, Chris? I'm not a doctor. All right. Whatever. Anyway, okay, so yes, you find some Jewish Democrat who goes to synagogue 3 times a year for Yom Kippur, and you're saying, what are you doing, you dirty traitor? You're betraying your religion. Well, that's not a religious person. Not a religious person. It's the Christian. Look, maybe that's you. It's the Christian who goes to church on Easter once a year because that's the one day he agrees to go with his mom and she wants him to go. And then you're pointing at him the rest of the year and you're telling him, hey, why are you voting that? You're supposed to be a Christian. Why are you doing that? You're supposed to be a Christian. He's not a Christian. Mom's a Christian. He's a something else. He's non-religious. So, yeah. Jesse, say what you want about Trump, but attacking rice is inexcusable. It is a staple of Louisiana where the best food in the world comes from. Maybe leave the menu whispering to me. Okay. You Cajuns. Listen to me. I will agree that it is probably the best food in the world comes from Louisiana. I'm actually not going to push back on you on that at, at, at all. If I see a Cajun restaurant, I'm pulling in. Just give me all the crawfish, all of it. Your dirty rice is garbage. It's bad. Because rice is bad. And I don't care how many pieces of sausage and spices and everything you put in there. You could have done that with pasta and it would have been good. Say what you want about the Italians. At least they figured out pasta's superior to rice. Anyway, on that lovely note, let's get the headlines I didn't get to in some emails before we wrap this up. Hang on. It is the Jesse Kelly Show with me, Commando Jesse, reminding you that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. So get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. It's a legitimate thing.
There's not a legitimate right to use hate speech. There's not a legitimate right to threaten Jewish students. There's not a legitimate right to block people access to class. That's against the law.
At some point in time, don't you have to start practicing the words with Joe beforehand? And I'm sorry I have to play this news story again. It kills
me. Some scary moments for customers at a Kansas Home Depot. Police responded to reports of a bomb threat at the store in Wichita. A customer alerted employees. A man inside the bathroom said there was a bomb in the building. Police were able to locate the man responsible for those comments. And that man told police he warned other guests to leave the restroom because he was, quote, fixing to blow it up, but had no intention of causing a panic. Man.
I know that's immature, but it just murders me. I'm sorry. Oh, gosh. All right, let's get to some other emails before we get to headlines I didn't get to. Sultan of Swing, thank you for ruining almost every podcast I try to listen to. Most are literally using the word literally for everything. I can't help but literally cringing now when I hear it. Is this your way of making everyone only listen to your show and podcast? It's from Matthew. Look, if you're angry with me for pointing out the abuse of that word, you should know that I suffer from it now as bad or worse than you suffer from it. In fact, I was listening. You know how I'm always looking for a history podcast? Because I love history. When I'm done talking politics and stuff, I love to talk history. I love to browse it And it's really, really hard to find a history podcast that's any good. And I found this one and I'm trying it out. I'm not going to give out the name because I'm about to insult it. And I don't want to insult anybody because he seems like a really, really good dude. I haven't gotten any lefty vibes from him yet. Now, the podcast isn't good, but I haven't gotten any lefty vibes. When I say, all right, I'll come back to the isn't good part, but literally, he just loves that word. It is all the time. It's every other sentence. He can't, and I know it's a verbal tick, and we all have verbal ticks. I have them. You listen to me talk for 3 hours a day. I know I have them. The only time I ever listen to my show is to try to get them out, try to get rid of them, but they're inevitable. You're going to have some, but literally is such a bad one. Now, back to what I was talking about, why it's bad. I want to remind everyone about something here. About storytelling. I don't have very many gifts. You always tell me that I'm a good storyteller. I wouldn't call myself a good storyteller, but you always say that I'm a good storyteller. So allow me to just tell you how I look at it and why this guy's bad at it and why I'm not telling you about his podcast because I don't want to dog on him. I'm giving him a chance. Maybe he'll get better. He's in love with details and telling the story exactly right. Exactly right with every detail. Now, maybe you're saying, well, Jesse, that's good. I want the details right. I want the story told exactly right. Okay, well, here's the problem when you're doing history like that. Finding the exact correct detail can be impossible many, many, many times. And so if you choose to nerd out on that detail, you will bog down the story and ruin the story. Okay, for instance, all right, we're in Iwo Jima. I'm making this story up. And there are 100 Marines, and they're charging up a hill. And on top of the hill, there are 200 Japanese soldiers dug in. Wait. No, not 200. This source actually says there were 500. Hold on, but if you actually go to some of the other sources, I found one that said there were 50. Now, if you go to Chris, he wrote a history book, and his history book said there were 75. So we don't, oh my gosh, they were just charging up the hill.
And now I'm sitting here dying of boredom while you try to hash out the details of how many Japanese are on top of the hill. Just tell me the story. And it doesn't mean you lie, but just tell the story. There's 200 Japanese up there. There's 300, whatever. Make it as accurate as you can make it. Your details are killing the story. Your details are killing the story. History is not names, dates, numbers, and locations. History is storytelling. Tell me a story. Put me in it. I don't want to hear all the names and the dates and the location. And if you check the latitude and longitude, you'll notice that it's exactly 75 miles due east of London. Oh my gosh! Tell me a story. Just tell a story, all right? Just had to get that off my chest. Now, after all that, let's do it.
And now,
here's a headline.
By go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
FBI underreported violent crime in 2023. Well, yes, the FBI underreported violent crime in 2023 because it's now a criminal organization that works exclusively for Democrats. It's an election year. Violent crime is up. That violent crime makes Democrats look bad. So Democrats, because the system speaks with one voice, has their secret state police agency tell everyone that violent crime is down. Again, an evil, horrible, corrupt organization that should be funded precisely with $0. Neuralink, the first inhuman brain implant, has experienced a problem, the company says. Now, I don't want anyone implanting things into my brain. But what if you could get something in your brain that made you have basically superpowers at something at some point in time? Wouldn't you want that? Super sight or super vision or something along those lines, or a super memory? I think my wife has one of those. But still, wouldn't that be cool? What, Michael? What? Yes, that's exactly right. Michael brought up a good point. Like being a really good napper, you could make it, you could even call it the Jesse implant. And then whenever you told somebody, hey, I'm going to take a nap, and they're all, well, I don't think I'm going to be able to nap, then you could be like, yeah, I am. I've got Jesse inside me. Pro-life group praises Missouri Governor Mike Parson for signing bill defunding Planned Parenthood, a reminder that it is possible to change local and state GOPs with enough effort. Missouri, which you wouldn't normally think of, but Missouri is producing some of the best Republicans in the United States of America constantly. State, local, even their federal guys. One of their senators, Schmidt, is dynamite. Their new AG is dynamite. It can be done if we dig in legally and locally. The swamp always wins. Mike Johnson expects to lead the House Republicans after the election. Well, yes, that's why he flew down to Mar-a-Lago and sucked up to Trump, took a picture with Trump. Trump put out a big public statement supporting Mike Johnson. They're getting ready to work together after the election. Now, what can they get done? Can they get good things done? That remains to be seen. I don't know. So far, Mike Johnson has been worse than useless. He's been a card-carrying Democrat, but maybe it'll get better once we get Trump in there. You can email me and should your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for tomorrow. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. All 3 hours, we're going to have some fun, all right? That's all.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And, of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.